Got to have a recording. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the King of glory, that you are the awesome, almighty God. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the ending. You are what was and what is and is yet to come. Lord, I surrender my life. God, I've been crucified with you. It is no longer I who live, but it is you who live within me. And Father God, we surrender, God, that you would speak through me, God, that nothing of me would arise, but only the glory of you would be seen. And God, we give you the praise and we give you the glory now and forevermore. And everyone said, amen. What happened? I'm on and I'm off. I'm on. Okay. You're not, let me turn this. I know what's going on. Off. All right. That's what happened. This is a Bluetooth, and my phone was ringing. I said, "What, Lord, where are we going? Am I going up into the third heavens?" But I just want to share how many last year was a very tough year. In the last 10 years, it's been a very tough year. And where we're going to begin is why. And what's going on in our lives. Most of you met my lovely wife back there, Michelle. She's my brown sugar. Amen. She's my everything. Amen. And I married up. Hope said, "What did you do?" I said, "I lied." And she believed it. Then I had to live with it. But, you know, God began to speak to us back in October of last year. And how many have been in transition? We travel a lot. We oversee churches and pastors. Got a lot of pastors we oversee. We're not pastoring anymore. We're just running around and helping others that we can. Because, my call is being a bondservant to Christ, called to be an apostle and to serve. And the apostolic never serves from above. It always serves from the bottom. It always lifts up and it raises up sons to walk in the power and the resurrection power of God. And God is beginning to, was changing things in our life. I was prophesied over years ago that I was an apostle. I said, "I don't want to be an apostle. Don't want to do this." It took probably 10 years before God developed it. And we pastored for 25 years. A senior pastor. We pastored 6 years as associate pastor, 4 years as a youth pastor. Yeah, 3 years as an elder. Amen. And God just began to raise us up in our lives. You know, we're going along good, and I was the associate pastor, and I was feeling so good. I loved being an associate pastor. I told my pastor that I was going to be with him. I was going to be his heir to her. I was going to hold up his hand until Jesus came. And we were having a great time in church. The church was growing. We were doing great things. And I was out doing everything I was wasn't supposed to be doing. Working in the prison ministry. I loved the prison ministry. Doing everything I could. And God was calling me to be a pastor. And then God began to speak to my wife you're going to have to give up that prison ministry. And then God began to speak to me about resigning from my job as a pastor. And the Lord spoke. I said, "Lord, now, I know you're speaking this to me, but I made a covenant with my pastor." Amen. And I said, "Lord, I love you, but I'm not going anywhere until you talk to him first. Because I believe in covenant. You know, covenant relationships are the power of Christianity. Amen? And we got to live under covenant. Amen? When we make covenants, we need to keep covenants. That's one thing we have a problem with the church. People make covenants. They come into church. This is where I'm supposed to be. I'm making covenant with you. And, you know, a few weeks later, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. Amen? People don't honor covenants. My brother knows what's going on. But I said, well, Lord, I'm going to wait. And about a couple weeks later, my pastor called me. I said, come out to my office. I came out there, and he said, you know, God's been speaking to me. He said, you've been a second too long, and God said, you're supposed to be a first. And I started crying. I already had my resignation written out, but I was just holding it. And so God sent us off, and we started a church. We moved into a place called Beaufort, Georgia. And we was in church, and we left church, and God said, go south. And went south and went to this town called Beaufort, Georgia. It wasn't nothing there. And he said, this is my destined city, inhabit it with my glory. When we got there, that city was full of occult, New Age stuff. Had a wicked church, a covenant there. And he said, inhabit this place. And so if my wife and my boys, we started walking the streets and praying over that city. We saw a little building, and we called the people. The roof inside was kind of falling down, and we called them and said, you know, what do you want to rent this building for? And they got excited, found that was going to be a church. We walked in there. They were just fixing it up and singing the praises of God. And we moved into that church. And it was just my family, and pretty soon God began to grow it. We began to touch the city. We began to pray. And then there, in a newspaper article came out, there was a map of Beaufort. And right in the, had a purpose talking about the growth of Beaufort. And right in the middle there was our church. And we had blood pentagrams painted on our building. We had warlocks would come in to the church. They'd come in, and all of a sudden, Michelle was preaching one Wednesday night. A warlock came in. He was sitting back there, and Michelle was just preaching. All of a sudden, this guy starts sliding down the chair. We had to get all the children out, and we cast that demon out of him. It took a while, but it was a stinky, nasty thing. But we've had them come to the church, tell me that we were a threat to them. And so they're praying against us. We found out that no churches like ours ever lasted a year in that city. And so this guy was telling me how we were a threat to him, and we talked for a while, found out his grandmother was a Pentecostal minister, had been praying for him, and he had scars off and down his arms, and we were talking and wasn't getting anywhere. Insightful answers to criticism. All thing you can do is love a person. And he was getting up to leave. I said, hey, brother. I said, I didn't call him brother. Hey, I forgot what his name was. I said, will you do me a favor? He turned and looked at me with those glassy eyes, and he said, what? I said, I want you to remember, when you're praying for our demise, I'm praying for your life. And he'd sit there and just stared at me. Insightful answers to criticism. He just stared at me. He walked out. But we was there for 25 years. That city turned many. It's one of the most progressive communities now. It has the largest mall in the northeast, southeast rather. And God has just blessed this city, and we worked this city. Our church, I was raising up men, and the next thing you know, they were going out starting churches. Amen. And a lot of the churches in Beaufort came through our church. And, you know, I thought I was a failure because I didn't have my church up to 1,000. I was just, you know, chucking along at about 100, and they dropped down to about 20. And people were coming and going, but we're raising up teaching and following God's commandment. We said, God, we'll be here and we'll inhabit this city and for your glory until you tell us to leave. And it came in October. God says, It's over. And my youngest son came and he said, Dad, we think that we're supposed to be taking over the church. Him and my other son, two sons. One's a prophet and worship leader, and the other one's is a preacher, pastor, and a leader. He's a businessman, too. But in October, God told me, he said, look behind you. So I looked behind me, and he said, what do you see? I said, I see a river. And he says, yes, it's the Jordan. He says, your day's here, and he says, you did what I asked you to do. And all the time, I was thinking I was a failure. And he says, it's now time for you to move to what I called you to do. Your destiny and purpose now is before you. 73 years old. Your destiny and purpose is now before you. What I've called you really to do. And I said, what is that? He just kind of laughed. And what God has called us to do is to raise up sons. Raise up a generation to begin to take over. All my young pastors, I tell them now to raise up your Joshuas. Yeah, raise up your Aaron. Raise up those. You know, don't you start a church and you'll be the only one. You got to raise up these young men. And remember, when you're starting this church or you're in this church, you're pastoring this church, remember that you're standing on the shoulders of the ones, the saints that went before you. You're standing on their prayers. God is moving you. We were in Beaufort. We were standing on the prayers of those that was in that community was crying out to God to bring something in this community. This community now is full of churches just like ours. Amen. God is moving. A lot of them have came through our church. Amen, that we raised up, amen, and we're seeing them move in the power of God. God has a purpose for us, amen, and during this time, we had to learn how to answer criticism, amen. We had to learn how to fight the fight of faith, and what I'm seeing in the church today and what I'm seeing in the world, brother, I got spit too coming, but what I'm seeing in the world today, what I'm seeing in the world is not my problem. It's not the problem with the church. The church is the problem with the church. Yeah. Amen. The church has been like ostriches. We've had our head in the sand, and we've been silent. And God is saying, it's a year that we rise up, that we begin to speak the word of God. Amen. Without reservations. Amen. The strength and the power of God lives and reigns in us. Amen. And we have sat down and we've been quiet too long. My generation has failed a generation. Amen. And we sit and talk about what's going on in America. We're going to get political. Amen. And we look at these things and we say, what's wrong? The problem is not wrong with the government. The problem is wrong with the church. We've been silent. Amen. And we got to begin to speak. Amen. Amen. We will, come on now. Okay. God never divided people by races. Amen. He divided them by communication. At the Tower of Babel, they were all nations, all people speaking one language, and God said they could do anything they wanted to do because they were in one language. God divided them because of their language, amen? And when God said, I'm coming again, and I'm bringing my Holy Ghost, and when the Holy Ghost came, he gave us a new language, amen? And see, the power is in the Holy Ghost. The power is in the Spirit of God that's living in us. Amen? And that's where we have missed it. Amen? We think just the power of God and the nine manifestations of the gifts of God is all we need. There's something greater than the nine manifestations of the spirits of God. It's the seven spirits of God that was upon Jesus. Amen? And we need to understand that there's seven spirits of God that God has put in us. They're the same seven spirits that are around the throne of God.
They're not seven different spirits. They're one spirit, the Holy Spirit, that has seven spirits of God, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits. Amen? And what the church has been missing is the spirit of counsel and might. Amen? All nine manifestation gifts works out of those seven spirits. It tells us in Isaiah 11:2, these spirits was up on Christ. And how many know Jesus sent his 12 guys out, and they went out, they cast out demons, they did all these things. You know when they did that? Watch this. You got to read before that. Jesus was trying to heal, cast out demons, and do things in Nazareth. And he couldn't cast out any demons because it was all familiar. And so Jesus just turned around and said, okay, guys, I'm anointing you with the same spirits in me. Now go out. And they did signs and wonders where Jesus couldn't. Now you got to hear me. They went out where Jesus couldn't, and Jesus tells us that there's greater works than in us than he did. Amen? See, there's something in us. Amen? That we have been quiet. We've been wanting to have the Holy Ghost in the church. No, I can get my shout on, you know. I can. Amen? And I can run around the church. I can shout in the church. I can get in here and God, man, I'll tell you what, Kelly, this morning, the Spirit of God came on me and the laughter came on me. And I haven't had that happen in a long time. I sit here and what was your topic now?
Strengthen and revitalize.
And I'm sitting here and the Lord says, say it. I said, strengthen and revitalize. God, I want it. They lay out here, hit me, and I'm sitting on the couch, and they're going down here on the chair, and they're walking up down here. Next thing you know, I started laughing. I said, Lord, I don't want to do this. And it kept coming on. It kept getting louder and stronger. My stomach was aching, and I said, Lord, please stop this. Please stop it. Stop it. Oh, but in person, I said, Lord, I want it all. Amen. And the power of God just came in this place. Amen. And see, what God is speaking to me about this community. See, the point of hope, when they come to open a heaven. They open heavens over the regions they go into. And I believe that they came here, and there's a heaven open over this community, over Ohio's mid-Ohio Valley, whatever it's called. There is a power of God getting ready to set itself up in this community. I believe revival is coming. Amen. I believe revival is going to break forth in this community. Amen. It's going to begin. It's beginning here already. I feel it when I walked in the door. Revival is in this house. Amen. Praise God. And when I saw in the bathroom, I saw a little poster that said something about White Horse. Well, I know Jeff. I met him years ago, and he prayed for me. Amen. We were at this meeting up in North Carolina in the mountains, and he was up there sharing. And so we got there, and it was kind of late, and there was just back row seats, and they had these lawn chairs, plastic lawn chairs. And I sit in this lawn chair. You might ask, he might remember it. But I sit in this lawn chair, and I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, the back leg claps. All they can see is my feet going up. That's how I remember him. And I know that the anointing's upon this man's ministry. And I heard that he is the overseer or the one who set in order the pastors of this church. Amen. God has something in store here. I don't think I'm here by happenstance. Yeah. Amen. I'm here for a purpose. Amen. I'm here because God sent me to places. He sent me all over the country now to release and to impart and to set in order revival. Amen. The spirit of revival is breaking out in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited. My rubber band gets tight. Amen. But praise God. Now we're going to get into the message. Hallelujah. But it's going to go right on down this thing. Amen. My topic is insightful answers to criticism. Out of Psalms 119:42, it says, so shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. We're going to look at 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense. What did that say? Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for hope that is in you with the meekness and fear. Amen. How many of you are ready to answer every man who asks for the hope that's in you? See, we have to have an answer. Do you have an answer? Let me tell you, there's been many times in the past times and years of my life, I didn't have an answer. Because I didn't have any word in me. Because I wasn't reading the word. I was an atheist. I lived 25 years of my life as an atheist. Didn't believe in God. My parents didn't go to church. My grandmother did. But my parents would send me to Sunday school. We had to walk to the church. I'd walk, catch up with my boys, and we'd go buy some pack of Roatan cigars and go party. Let me tell you, I was in church as a young boy, but I didn't know who Jesus was. I had no clue who he was. No one ever taught me. And I'm listening to Nancy talking about how she developed a program, you know, to teach children at a young age even how to receive Christ and be baptized, and so you can ask them questions and they can answer that. We didn't have that type. You know, you go to Sunday school, it's a time of play or whatever. It wasn't a time to teach the Word of God. Amen? See, you got to teach your children. Our children must know how to have insightful answers to criticism. Amen? We can't let our children think that every time everybody's going to be a winner. You can't let your children know that they're always going to be a winner. They're going to lose some. Amen? And because they think they're winners, and when they reach out and try to witness to somebody, they're going to lose because they don't have anything to really tell them. You know, I got a son, a spiritual son, and we're still working on him. But I go to talk to him. He's telling me about all these video games. And we're talking to people all over the country, and I'm sitting there saying, Lord, help me. Help me, you know. And finally, I turn him into the spiritual things. And we've been talking. But that's all, you know, that's all he was doing was playing games. And he hasn't been coming to church. And I said, why don't you do me, I talked to him the other week. I said, why don't you do me a favor? He just called me out of the blue, found out he was going to have some surgery. But he called me out of the blue and just wanted to talk. So we just talking. And I said, so I started talking about the word. And I began to encourage him in the word. And he began to tell me some things he learned about the word. So I started encouraging him what he was saying. I said, oh, man, that's so good. I said, you know, my son's started a church, and they have changed the name of our church. I'll tell you about that here in a minute. But they changed the name of the church. I said, but you know, they need help. I said, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you go to church and help my sons do what God called them to do. I said, you're a good man that you could be a part of the thing. He said, you know, I'll be there this Sunday. And so I was over there at church, and my sister-in-law, my daughter-in-law, rather, his sister-in-law, she said, Greg said he's coming to church today. I shouldn't say his name. And I said, yeah, well, I said, we'll see, because anytime he would try to come to church, the enemy would attack him with sickness and disease. So all week long, I was praying that God would keep him, protect him. He comes in the church just grinning. Praise God. And, you know, and we're going to believe God because, I could get on his case about being on those games and act like I wasn't interested. And I wasn't, but I act like I was. Amen. See, we got to reach people where they are. Amen. I could have been criticizing them. How many of you know when God's doing a new thing? And you know what's wrong with the church when God's doing a new thing? God said he's going to do something new in my life. I've been looking for what he's going to do new. And they was in a different church. Didn't operate like the church they used to go to. And they said, I'm looking for God to do something new. I said, what you're really looking for is doing God doing something familiar. And I said, look where you are. You talk about, I don't know about this church. I've never been here like this. You know, I said, why don't you just find out? But that's the thing. When God does something new, it says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. And we're saying God's doing something new, but your ears haven't heard it. Your eyes haven't seen it. And so when we see something new, it's not familiar, we say that's not a God. Amen. Some of you might got offended because we're down here laughing. Come on now. Come on. Maybe some of you might got offended. But I couldn't help it. It was the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've been in this long enough. I know the Holy Ghost. Amen. And let me tell you, you can't move in what God wants us to move in this new season if we're going to try to hold on to something familiar. Amen. And that's why Jesus could not do any miracles in the midst of the people who knew him. And he had to anoint his apostles, 12 of them, to go out to do miracles and signs and wonders. They came back and said, wow, the demons were subject to us. People were being healed. Man, this was great. Now, how many of you going out and come back and tell your pastor, I've been out there, demons were running, they were screaming. Oh, I saw my name, my poster was on the post office wall of hell. They are all screaming and they're running from me. Pastor, all these things were done. How many even went out there to do it? You've been anointed with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You have insightful answers. Have you read your scripture? Amen? You know, you have enough scripture in you to deliver anybody. Amen? I remember my sister, she went through a hard divorce, and her son was having issues. And the rod of correction would come to him, but it wouldn't do him any good. They were trying to do it properly and doing all this thing, and this kid would just not do anything. And I was visiting, and it was at my father's house, and he was carrying on like that, and they couldn't get him stopped. So I just picked him up, and I carried him into the back bedroom, and I closed the door. And I started praying over him. And he was just a young man. I said, Brian, I said, what you need is Jesus in your heart. He can help you. And he just looked at me. I said, I want you to say this prayer with me. Say Jesus. And all of a sudden, he says, I can't say that name. That's a little kid. And I said, devil, you're bound. You got to shut up. You cannot control him any longer. And I said, now, say this. Jesus? And he said, Jesus. He said, come into my life and my heart. He never had another tantrum in his life. Amen. Amen? And I was just a young Christian then too. Amen? I didn't have the wisdom and the knowledge I have now, but I had the Holy Ghost. I had the wisdom of God. The Bible says that we don't have to think about what we're going to say, because the Holy Ghost in us will speak in that time. After Jesus had sent them out and Jesus began to speak to them and told them that they would be persecuted, basically by the Sadducees and Pharisees. So they said, but don't think about what you're going to say when that time comes, because the Holy Spirit will speak through you. Amen? And so we got to get to that place allowing for answers for insightful criticism, for answers for insightful criticism, got to come through the Holy Spirit. I need my phone back here a minute. Let me tell you, the world hates you. Hates everything about you. And brother, I do love to suffer some things because we need it. Amen? We need some things to come. And let me tell you that we're getting ready for the greatest time in the history of mankind. I told Nancy I won't get into it much, but I will here in a minute, what I'm seeing, what's going on in these last days. But I put something on my Facebook page. I'm going to share this, Michelle. I think I will. I wasn't, but I will. This was a post about one of the candidates who pledges to penalize a church that opposed gay marriage. That's what I posted. Well, I said, you know, we need to wake up because, you know, a certain group believes in choice unless your choice disagrees with theirs. And that's what I put on there. Well, my good friend says this. Now he's a Christian. He's going to heaven. That's what he says. Y'all ready for this? I guess Trump espouses what is holy and godly. He says he's pro-life, but just a few years ago he said he was pro-choice. I didn't say anything about Trump. I want you to know that Trump is a distraction to a lot of people in the body of Christ. They say he's a racist. I don't know if he's a racist. He hasn't done anything to me, but has done things for the church that needs to be done for the church. Amen? But the attack came a different direction. It should have been an attack on the subject, but it came out after him. And he was a human relations officer where I used to work. And we had these other engineers. I was a senior manufacturing engineer. And this other engineer, he was in design engineering. And his wife, she was a production manager. Well, they respond back to him because we're all friends. And then he gets in a battle talking about one sin is not greater than another sin. He said, you're trying to de-minimize sin. Now, how do you answer something like this? How many of you deal with this? With people that are your friends, that are believers, that say something like this? See, he doesn't understand. I said, this has nothing to do with President Trump, or whether he's a racist or not, it is not minimizing sin or liberals. It is about God's word being true or a lie. Our nation is facing a government that is calling God a liar. Our nation is facing a government that is calling God a liar. It is trying to make into law what God says is evil, good. And God's people is the problem with this nation. It is about an Antichrist spirit ushering in a new world order church. Wake up before it's too late. Amen. It will be easy to take the mark of the Antichrist. What's happening, it is causing the church to be desensitized, to bring us into a place to usher in the New Age church, that the church people will receive the mark. He comes back, and I'm very aware of the spirit of Antichrist. It is a denial of Jesus. I am grounded in Christ and his love. However, the Bible declares that this would come. We should not be alarmed, but be prepared. My focus is on how I respond. I want to respond like Christ did. The gospel displays his love toward all who were in sin and lost. I endeavor to walk in love. That sounds good, don't it? That's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. It is not the hour for God's people to be silent. When God and his people are being reproached by men who hate God, God's word, and his people, we should love enough to speak truth. For us to be silent is to hate those who reproach the word of God, especially if we know that these things must come to pass. Their blood will be on our hands, and if we know and stay silent. Now, what I'm saying here, I was in a dilemma. I don't know how many of you are in a dilemma. We know these things must come. We know that the church is and the Antichrist is going to raise up in this city and in the world. We know these things are going to come. God says it. We read it in the prophecies. And should we just be silent and let it come? No, you can't be silent, even though it comes. Now, let me tell you, I'm going to tell you where my hope is. How many read Revelation chapter 7? And you read that scripture in there, you said, John is challenged by the angel and says, who are these dressed in white without number around the throne of God? And John, being a wise disciple, says, you know, you tell me. And he said, these are the ones that came out of the great tribulation. Now, there is a tribulation, and then there's a great tribulation. The tribulation is the first 3.5 years. The great tribulation is the last 3.5 years. They came out of the great tribulation. Whether you believe pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, or whatever, these men, these without number, greater than the sands of the seas, but around the throne of God, that came out of the great tribulation, that came because there was a people of God that stood on their feet and were not silent and preached the gospel, and that's what we got to do. Amen? Either we will be taken out, but we will say something that is true that someone will grab hold of. All you have to do is speak the word and not be afraid. Amen? Now, let me tell you, as we begin to move in, and I'm looking at this scripture about insightful criticism and speaking. In September, as we're going up to Ketchikan, we're moving in to a new Jewish New Year. And the Jewish New Year is 5780. Now, 5780 is we're moving into a new decade. The decade we just came out of was 70 to 79. And 70 means seeing. In the Jewish, it's Aphian, I think it was Aphian, which means 70, means sight. 70 means seeing. The Hebrew alphabet has pictures. It means, each bar means something. The picture for that was an eye. Amen. And so how many of you have been through stuff? Amen. You've seen a lot of things, and we're seeing a lot of things now, right? But see, when we're going into this new decade, 80 means mouth. Your prophecy. It's talking about the mouth, that we have to know when to speak and when not to speak. It's going to be the season that we open our mouths and begin to proclaim. We have been silent this last decade, and because of our silence, we've seen these things. Sarah was saying that she saw an article is saying that the population, the Christian population, has dropped. I don't believe it has dropped. I believe they've just finally got some accurate figures. I'm serious. When they were saying we were 85% Christian population, I said, how could we have people in the office that we have in office? Somebody was complaining about one of the Muslim ladies that they're in office. They were complaining about her. I said, I'm not worried or concerned about her. I'm concerned about who voted for her. Come on. What have we done as a church? Amen? The problem is we have been silent. We allowed our education systems to dictate to our children, to take their faith away. Amen? We have not instilled in them the things that should be in their heart, that they would know God, that they would have insightful answers for those who would criticize the Christ in them, to cause them to stand up and begin to speak righteousness. Amen? We need to get our children at a young age filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? As my wife saying that our last two sons are running the church, that they got married as virgins. Amen? I remember I was down in my office studying one night, and my son comes knocking on my door. He's my architect and worship leader and prophet. And he says, Dad, I think I have feelings for Jamila. That's my daughter-in-law now. He said, what am I going to do? I said, boy, curt yourself up like a man and go get her. And man, I tell you what, he put his dad to shame. Man, he went after her. Man, what was that, Valentine's Day? He cooked her dinner. He took our downstairs area and fixed it up real nice and candlelight and all that, man. I said, my wife said, woo! I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to be. But he went after her, amen? You know, our children can be virgins, amen? And still do things that's right. Amen. They can hold themselves. If we instill in them righteousness and get them filled with the Holy Ghost, with the seven spirits of God, and teach them about the seven spirits of God before we teach them about the nine manifestations gifts of God. Amen. See, the seven spirits of God are around the throne of God. Jesus said, pray that it would be done on earth like it is in heaven. Amen. What's in heaven are the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God are in us, so we're bringing heaven to earth. Amen. It's the same spirits around the throne of God is living in you. You have all authority, all access to the throne of God, all dominion, all authority, all power lives in me and you. Amen. No demon in hell can stand against you. Amen. 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 I don't think there's any reason, amen, for us to ever go down in defeat. Amen. There's no reason. I live in victory. Amen. I live in victory. When things don't go right, I'm still in victory. I can count it as all joy, amen, because I see things as not as though they were, amen. I live in that place of the redemptive faith, amen. I have been redeemed by the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the Lamb. I've been redeemed and put a lion in me. Oh, glory to God. The Lamb changed me into a lion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you got a lion in you? Amen. How many know a lion is bold? It's bold. Amen. A lion will go after anything. I like to watch documentaries, animal documentaries. I see this lion going after an elephant. I said, come here, boy, let me talk to you. You need some wisdom. I got some silver hair, you know. But a lion thinks he knows that he can take anything. Amen. A believer, a Christian, we have to have that type of attitude. We got to know that we can take anything. Amen. We got to know that we're victorious. There's nothing in us, amen, but the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes in us, we should live by that. Those who walk after the Spirit. Amen. See, my problem is, I don't know about you, but I have a problem walking after the Spirit. Because of this old ugly flesh. Amen. And sometimes I just have to get up and be a lion on my flesh. Amen. You know, I need to be a lion more on my flesh than I am on the devil. Amen. I got to kill this thing. When I was a youth pastor, I had this young pastor. He was out of Rod Parsons Church in Columbus, Ohio. We had him down for a revival. I tell you, this is the kind of guy he was. We went into Shoney's. We don't have Shoney's. It's Frisch's up here. We used to have Shoney's down there. They're all gone now. But we walked in there, and that's the time when you had smoking and non-smoking area. They said, you want non-smoking or smoking? I said, non-smoking. He said, no. We need smoking because we on fire. But he was bold as a lion. He had the spirit of evangelist on him. He went into New York with David Wilkerson. He got on the subway. He was on the subway. God said, preach. He said, no. He said, God said, preach. He said, I jumped up off my seat. I raised my Bible up and said, you got the Bible? Hold it up and shake it at the devil. People got saved. We got to be bold as a lion. Amen. If he can do it, I can do it. So I walk into places. You want smoking, non-smoking? I said, no, you better give me smoking because, ow, I'm on fire. Yes, there's a fire in our tongue. There's a fire. Amen. We're asking God to bring down the fire. But the fire is in us. See, it tells us. Let me get to this scripture here. Let me get to, see, I hadn't even got to any of my notes. I don't know if I'm going to, but I'm going to get to this scripture here for you. Praise God. Let me find it. Might be in the, it's Jeremiah 5:24. I want you to listen to this. This is for this church. This is for every place in the country that wants to hear it. It says, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both former and latter rain, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of harvest. Now, the thing that got me, it says reserve. Reserves have to, a reservation. When something's reserved, you make a reservation. See, I had a reservation made for me over here in Marietta at the Tail Suites. But if I didn't go check in, that reservation wouldn't have been worth a penny. Amen? And see, God says, I reserve for you the appointed weeks of harvest. So it's time to check in. Amen? It's not yours until you check in. Amen? There are appointed weeks. Amen? I'm not talking about a week, but weeks of harvest. Amen? It's time for the church to check in to what God has called us to do. Amen? Hallelujah. We must know our season. How many of you know we must know the season? The sons of Issachar knew the signs and the times. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 8 that the birds know the times of their migration. They know the times. It says the fowls of the air know the time of their migration. But my people do not know their season of migration. Amen? And see, when all this was going on in Michelle's and our life, when I started out, we were in the process. We had a three-story house and the steps were getting too much for us, and the house was too large for us, and the kids were gone. We had four boys. And so we're going to put the house on the market, and so we did. Amen. And so we were trying to get the house sold, and I'll make a long story short. Three times our house, we got a contract on it. The first two fell through. The second one, it got all the way to the day of closing, and the guy who lied about a paper he's supposed to have. We had everything packed up, ready to go. The house that we wanted, we put an offer on it. It was ready for us, and everything fell through. And this house was everything that we ever desired. It was a ranch house. Ranch houses down in Georgia are hard to find. And we found it was in a beautiful neighborhood, and so we said, well, Lord, if that's still for us, you'll hold it for us. And the house got a contract on it, and the same thing happened to it. It happened to our house. So finally, we get another contract on our house, and it was the night before the closing, and I'm sitting there, and I am all worried because all the things happened before. See, I was ready to quit. I said, honey, let's just hang out. We'll just stay here. Michelle said, we can't quit. We never go down in defeat. Amen. I said, okay. And so 4 o'clock in the morning, God wakes me up to go pray. So I went up to my prayer room, and I was sitting there praying, and I'm praying about everything. And Lord, you know, we got to get through this thing, and praying for my leaders and everything. And all of a sudden, it was just clear as day. God said, you don't understand my migration. I said, what? He said, you don't understand my migration. I was standing in my pulpit telling everybody we were downsizing. And God said, I don't downsize, Michael. He says, I always move you from a lesser to a greater. My people, I always move you from a lesser to a greater. I never move you from a greater to a lesser. He says, every move that I will move you, every time that you will migrate, I will migrate you from a lesser to a greater. He says, now I want you to apologize to your leadership and apologize to your church. So I got my laptop out, and I wrote me a email to all my leadership, sent it right there that night. And apologize to him. Sunday morning, I was in the church, and I said, I apologize to you. Because everybody in the church was saying, downsize. And God said, I can't do anything for you if you can keep confessing that you're downsizing. Now, the house is a smaller house, but it's a better house. Amen. In a better neighborhood. I'm on a golf course. I'm learning how to play golf. But you know, the greatest thing is, I'm debt free. But see, when God moves us, when He moves us, amen, when He calls us to move, We always move from a lesser to a greater. And when we're getting ready to go into this new season, this new decade, is moving from the lesser, amen, to a greater. How many had such a hard time in the last 10 years? It's going to be, you're moving out of a new old decade into a new decade. God is saying we're migrating. Everybody say, I'm migrating. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. From a lesser to a greater. Hallelujah. Amen. God never cuts us down. He always makes us greater. Am I making any sense in here? Amen. And see, we do have an answer, every one of us. Every one of us. God has put the Spirit of the Lord in us. Find the scripture. Gotta find it here. All right, I want you all to say this with me. How many of you know that God has anointed you? You need to read this scripture over your life at least once a month. My wife and I, since the time of, so I'm not getting into things I was going to share early because Nancy is going to be sharing a lot of it this evening, and so I didn't want to share everything, but Luke chapter 4 verse 18, and we're going to say this together, amen, because God has anointed you, amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. What is the Spirit of the Lord? The seven spirits of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, and the Spirit of fear of the Lord. Amen? And these spirits are upon us. And it was up on Jesus. And Jesus says here, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Everybody say that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty all those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the Lord closed the book and said, it's being fulfilled in your presence. I'm closing the book. Is being fulfilled here in your presence. The Spirit of the Lord is up on you. Amen? You don't have to think about what you got to say because the Spirit of God's in you. Has that ever happened to you? When I was working in, there was a young Baptist pastor that was going around trying to find all the Pentecostal guys at work and people and talk about the Holy Ghost. What cut them down about the Holy Ghost. And so they're always trying to get me involved, so I was trying to avoid them. And I kept avoiding him. And so he finally caught me one day and he comes up to me. I said, oh Lord, give me wisdom. He comes up and says, what do you think about speaking in tongues? I looked at him and smiled. I said, yeah. I said, let me put it this way, my friend. I said, you remember the man that was blind from birth that Jesus healed, gave his sight back? He said, yeah. I said, you know, the Pharisees had gathered around him, and they were questioning him and saying, you were blind, And he kept saying, I once was blind, but now I see. And I said, they kept questioning him and even called his parents in. And they're sitting there looking at him. He could see. I said, he's looking at him. And finally, he looked at that Pharisee with a big pimple on his nose. Could see that big pimple? He said like this. He said, sir, I once was blind, and now I see. Dropped the mic and walked off. That's all I told him. He come back the next week. He said, I told my church, if someone comes in here and speaks in tongues, he said, we're not going to despise it. Praise God. But you know, I could sit there and argue with him. I could have been evil with him. I could have been mean with him. But God wants us to have graceful answers. Amen. We got to speak to people in love. We like to cut them off. I heard a young lady in our church in Gainesville. She was talking about her brother. I told him this. I told him that. I cut him off. And she was proud of it. He never did come to Christ. I used to, when I first started at the plant in Gainesville, I'm from Indiana, and I got transferred there. And I was in my office at lunch, and this supervisor would come in my office every lunch, and I'd be reading my Bible, and he'd be talking to me and want to talk about Scripture. And I'd be talking to him and sharing Scriptures with him. We'd be talking all, and I was at a church, and one of the deacons worked there too, and we were walking across the plant, me and this supervisor, and the guy hollers at him, Chuck, if you don't change your way, you're going to hell. He never came back up here at lunch anymore. So one day, I was in the break room, and I was heading down to the mail room, the office, and he was behind me, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came on me to prophesy to him. To the plant. I said, no, Lord. I said, no, Lord. I'm at work. No, Lord. I'm at work. No, Lord. You know, I could get fired for this. And so I reached in my mailbox and get my mail, and he was right behind me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell me real strong, and I just turned and started prophesying to him and telling him God loved him. And God had a call on his life. Since he was a little boy, you know the time when, I said, you know when you was a little boy when God spoke to you and he called you out to be special before him? Big old tears start running down his face. I said, God's word's never been revoked. Amen. And he gives his heart to the Lord again. Returns his life. And 2 months later, he's dead. We got to speak when God tells us to speak. Amen. I had a boss. Every year we would grade our employees. They would grade me too, and he got the worst grade that ever came through the history of the plant. And he was what they all said he was. And he had to bring us all in the office one at a time and talk to us, and we had to have some kind of communication. They were all going, and they would spend an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours in there just fussing him out, telling him how bad he was. So finally he calls me out of my office. I go to his office, and I walk in, and I said, what's up? He said, you tell me. I said, okay, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I said, all authority belongs to God. I said, you're here because God placed you here. And I said, because that I submit myself to your authority, as long as you don't violate God's godly principles with my life. I said, we don't have any problems. Anything else you want to talk about? He just looked at me and I walked out of his office. So then I had to make a trip with him all the way up to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, from Atlanta. We drove up there. I told the Lord I didn't want to do it. I said, Lord, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. I said, Lord, find a way out for me. Find a way of escape, Lord. I know you got it in there somewhere. We got ways of escape. But it didn't work that way. So we got in the car, and I said, I said, Lord, I really have to talk with him. So he gets there, and he starts making accusations about preachers. How they always want money and all that. He just opened the door, and I shared the gospel with him all the way to Myrtle Beach. We get to Myrtle Beach, and we look at this machine. I said, man, that's a piece of junk. He said, you want to stay the night here at Myrtle Beach? I said, no, I'm going to go home and be with my wife. He said, okay. So we got back in the car. We drove all the way back, and I just was loving him with the Word of God, just teaching him. He was asking me questions, and it was like Scripture were coming out of me. I didn't know I had in me. Amen. It was just coming up. And we got back, and I'm saying, Lord, what happened here? And a few weeks later, I was sitting out in my car in the parking lot reading my Scripture at lunchtime. He walked by my car. He turned around. He walked by it again. I'm sitting there. I'm looking at him, you know. And he walked by again. Finally, he taps on my window. And I rolled my window down. He said, guess what? I said, what? He said, I'm one of you now. But you know, that's who we are. We have to speak to people. Amen? We have to love people. Amen? See, I said something, I guess it was Wednesday night or Thursday night when we're talking about our workshops. And I said, how many of you know that we know these things are going to happen, but yet we're supposed to witness and all this stuff is going on. What should we do? We got to witness no matter what. If you do not witness, if you hold silent to those that despitefully use you, bring reproach against you, bring reproach against God, then you hate them. You hate them. If you let them and you know in your heart that they're going to go to hell, you know that they don't have Jesus in their life, and they're reproaching the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you hold silent, the blood is on your hands. Amen? Amen? I had some blood on my hands. I don't know about you, I have some blood on my hands because I allow fear and intimidation to intimidate me many times in my life. Amen? Amen? Family members, amen. My family thought I was crazy, amen. They still think I'm crazy because I don't think Trump is prejudice. They think I done lost it. I'm serious because I said that's not the problem. They think I'm crazy, but they love me, amen. And I love them too, amen. I love my brother, amen. I love my sister. I love my brothers. Amen. Even though we have disagreements on things about the kingdom of God, I still love them. Amen. Because I have to warn them. Amen. And maybe we might get in intense fellowship sometime. But we still love one another. Amen. The day is my older brother's birthday, and I just sent him a birthday thing. Old man River, he just keep rolling. He's my older brother, you know, I can do that. But, you know, what I'm saying is you always have to have grace. You know, we got to love our enemies. The church has not loved their enemies. We have stood in judgment. Not only have we judged them, we have crucified them. With our tongues, amen, we get angry with them. Let me tell you, the world will sin. The world will do ugly things. The world will act like the world, amen. Jesus did not get angry with the world. He got angry with the church. He didn't call the world whitewashed sepulchers because they didn't know him. The Pharisees should have known him. So he called them whitewashed sepulchers. He went in the temple where the money changers. He went in the temple where the money changers were part of the priesthood. And wore them out. Our loving Jesus. Why is this so loving? He is. But when a time comes, he will take out the cat, what is called the whip, and do what he has to do. Amen? That is to the people of God. Amen? But to the world, he loved them. He loved me into the kingdom. Amen? I was an atheist. How many were loved into the kingdom? Amen? When people tell me go to hell, I said, I know I'm going there. Tell me something new. Well, here's what's new. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. Brother, I love you too. Amen? Amen. I don't judge you for what you do. But if you're hurting, I got a way out for you. Mm-hmm. But we just can't sit there and let people go. We got to snatch people out of the fire. Every one of you, do you have an insightful answer in you? Do you have an insightful answer for criticism? I just told you, Jesus said, don't think about what you're going to say, because the Holy Ghost will speak for you. So, do you have an insightful answer for those who reproach you? Do you have an insightful answer for those who reproach you? Do you have an insightful answer for those who reproach you? Do you have an answer for the insightful answer for those who reproach you? Why? Praise God. Amen. See, one of our problems is that, man, I need to get some more training. I get some more teaching. You know, but the Holy Ghost is in you. He'll speak for you if you allow the Spirit to lead you. Did that make any sense to you all today? Praise God. Well, it's time to activate. I left it for you. I didn't take it too far.